For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like the NCAA tournament will expand in the next several years. We don't know exactly when it's going to start, but it will be just around the margins. I've said for a long time that if you're going to expand, to me, the most acceptable expansion would be simply creating what would amount to another first four, or and have all the 16 seeds play, you know, all the, I guess, another set of 16 versus 16 games, another set of 11 versus 11 games. So maybe I would do it more than two more games, but I would do it, you know, have your first four. I would go to almost the first 16, but that's a different story altogether. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast, also does basketball, and we're going to hit it all. As he joins us on a Wednesday. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I hope you are.
I'm doing well. You've already flipped the Chipolitics over to hoops, I know. Do you have any encouraging words for fans of Wake Forest about making the NCAA tournament?
That you know, if the odds continue when sports gambling goes live on March 11th, right now, there are some profitable numbers for you to bet that Wake Forest will miss the NCAA tournament. You still got plus value there. So your heart will be broken, but your wallet will be larger.
So wait a second. It's plus money for them to miss the NCAA tournament?
105 as of this morning. It was plus 135 last night.
Right.
And I saw a bunch of Wake Forest fans spreading that news. I mean, look, we're talking about Wake fans here. They're
right.
Smart. They probably have a lot of money. They know how to make sound financial decisions. They look at the market. They make a good decision. And they look at this Wake Forest team that, look, it is frustrating because how many times has this group failed in close games and done it in different ways? You know, they blow leads, but then they also storm back and fail to finish the job like they did against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
An immensely frustrating season for Wake Forest fans when the talent on the floor – in so many ways, shows us that this is a team that is among the best in the ACC, just not over the course of 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's in a way, they're a better version of State. State's almost always got 20 good minutes in them. They played 30 against Duke. And they just it's hard to sustain it when you are working on the margins. I just think Wake is a team that if they max their personnel out, I mean, I could see him winning, you know, if they could avoid the first four. I could see him playing in the second week of the NCAA tournament. I think Salas and Reed and Hildreth, they've got good players there. I just can't figure out. I also think the same thing about Pitt, and Pitt right now is probably not in the NCAA tournament. But I wouldn't be surprised. We don't know what the brackets are going to look like yet for Washington, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Wake and Pitt playing each other on Saturday. I really wouldn't. If Carolina and Duke don't feel motivated, it's wide open for anybody.
Well, and, you know, you think about what you need to be able to excel, and I think the combination of Booby Miller and Hunter Salas give you the guard play that you want. Efton Reed gives you that versatile, dominant big that no matter, I mean, everybody's playing different, like, you know, ball screen offenses.
Yeah.
You know, as long as he doesn't stay in foul trouble, he gives you that kind of versatility. So you figure he's been hurt for a long time and he's just doing the best he can out there. You know, Hildreth, like, you're looking at a team where I don't really stretch it, because with Pitt, here's the deal. I don't know, is Blake Henson gonna get, if yes, then yeah, sure, could win the ACC tournament, but I just kinds of third and fourth options where I'm going down the list and I'm like, okay, well, then he could step up. Then he could step up. And like Bob Carrington, you know, there it has more than just Henson.
Yep.
But if we're talking about high-level tournament performance, then I would take Wake over Pitt. It's just really frustrating coming out of last night, because guess what? Pitt took care of business.
They did.
Right? They got a push from Florida State. They won that game handily. Aaron Donald in the house. Vibes are great. Wake, on the other hand, you're playing at home, and Georgia Tech comes and punches you in the mouth, and it takes too long to respond. Just a really, really tough night in Winston-Salem.
Yeah. I mean, they did take the lead with under 30 seconds to go, but then, look, I think they got hosed on a call, but that's not why they lost. 26-4 is why they ultimately lost the game. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast. I'm going to work my way back with things I wanted to talk to you about. You and I talked about the 14-team model, and I got on my soapbox about what it says about the SEC and the Big Ten and all of that. But I'm curious what your thoughts are here. If the proposal becomes reality, and 2 years from now, we are at a 14-team model with what amounts to 11 automatic qualifying spots out of 14, where the SEC and the Big Ten each get 3, the ACC and the Big 12, who's ever left in those two leagues, gets 2 each, and the group of 5 gets 1. That's 11 of 14.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
Missed fall enrollment? It's your time to shine at William Peace University. WPU is enrolling for the spring semester at our co-ed university in the heart of Raleigh. We offer more than 30 majors, including esports and gaming administration, simulation and game design, and interactive design. Our classes are taught by full professors, and our small class size means you get one-on-one instruction and immersive learning. Plus, we connect students with internships. William Peace University, your time to shine. Get started today at peace.edu.
Does Notre Dame really like that with only 3 at-large out of 14? Are they cool with that, or does that maybe push Notre Dame into joining a conference territory?
That won't be it. My understanding of the proposal is they've got their own category. My understanding of the proposal is that anytime Notre Dame is in the top 14 of the selection committee's final rankings, they essentially have their own automatic qualifier. My understanding is that it's a 33-22-1-1 hut. So it's 33-22-1-1, and that last one has the qualifier of Notre Dame has to be inside the top 14. So Notre Dame will not find itself in a position where it is inside the top 14, but because of the convoluted structure, get screwed. It would, under my understanding, take one of those at-large spots, essentially leaving just 2 at-large spots. And what I have discovered since we last talked is the amount of distrust that the commissioners, excuse me, I don't want to single out the commissioners. The amount of distrust that leaders, the decision-making process have in the selection committee, that this format neuters the selection committee.
Yeah.
It strips them of their ability to make decisions that the that lots of different conference commissioners don't find valuable. So here's two examples that were pointed out to me. One is very obvious. Florida State being left out, right? I mean, that was just there is something about the 13-0 ACC champion. Uh-huh. The fact that it's not just any ACC champion, this is Florida State national championship winning program was left right. out despite being 13-0. That was the selection committee's decision. And then the other one from last year that I did not really think about, and I can guess who is behind beating the table for this. It rhymes with Schmoresco, and it was Tulane getting left out for Liberty, where somebody was pointing at the Green Wave and saying, like, look, this is a team that played Ole Miss.
Yeah.
This is a team that went and had a much tougher strength of schedule. Liberty's strength of schedule, you know, looks like Iowa State basketball.
Right.
Like, it was one of the worst in the country. And so these decisions, the Florida State one, very significant. The Liberty over Tulane, less significant. But that has set the table for discussions where the leaders in that room are saying, you know, we don't want the selection committee to have this much power and this much say when we do the model moving forward. Now, the way that they've constructed this seems like a huge headache.
Yeah.
How does the committee decide what the top three are, or does the conference retain the rights to deem what top three means? Is it top three in the committee's rankings or top three in the conference standings? There is a lot left to be figured out in terms of, you know, figuring out who the teams are that will take those automatic qualifiers. But when you look at all those automatic qualifiers and you throw in the Notre Dame provision of being in the top 14, you're essentially only allowing the committee to pick two teams. And that's less than they do right now.
This whole thing is hysterical. First of all, every decision that conference commissioners and really university presidents have made about this issue, about expansion, has ultimately created another set of problems nationally, to the point where, look, I'm not saying that people won't watch. It has never been about that. I can be critical of how the NFL does business because I think that they do bad business, but it doesn't matter, because it's a license to print money and everybody loves football. But they are succeeding in spite of everything they have done, and they are destroying the fabric of college football. It's pro sports, and that's fine. It's always been a feeder system for the pros, but more than ever, college football feels like pro football. Just at a lesser version of it. But if we go to 12 automatic qualifying spots, and it absolutely makes me laugh, like, why even have a committee at that point? Why even have one? Just let Reese Davis and College Game Day, the noon kickoff Saturday crew, CBS Sports HQ crew, just let those people pick the other two teams.
I think that, again, you need to have some semblance of fighting off the lawsuits, and without getting into the wonky business part of it. Like, they are not declaring themselves, by the way, a national championship. Have you ever talked about this?
No, I heard you guys discussing it on a recent Cover 3 podcast. It's a college football playoff championship.
And it's something that's really, really, like, devil in the details kind of aspect to this. You know, we have a college basketball national championship because anybody in the country theoretically could qualify.
Yep.
We have national championships in all these other sports. They are national championships. All we do in football is we say that you're the championship of the college football playoff, which means you're just the championship of the invitational. You are no different than the NIT champion. You are no different than the Maui champion.
Right.
Invitational held at the end of the year. We declare that you are the champion of this college football playoff invitational. And so, you know, as convoluted as it gets, I do still think that we're not gonna totally lose the plot here. My thought about college football has long been the thing that draws me to it. And remember, I'm a late adopter. I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, yep, in the 80s and 90s. Like that is an upbringing that is very much college basketball first. And it has been into my adulthood that the switch has been flipped nationally, and the switch has kind of been flipped across all of college sports. And so as I've grown to know and love college football, it's always been about the people. And so as long as we still have fans showing up on Saturdays,
yeah,
filling stadiums, on message boards, downloading the Cover 3 podcast, like, I don't get into TV ratings because that doesn't feel as human as what I see when I go to a game. But as long as that passion is still there, it can get as convoluted as the leaders need to make it. But as long as we still have that on Saturdays in the fall, and I think we still do, then I think that you are correct in terms of it as like stripping a lot of what people love about college football. But what I love about college football is the people who care about it. So as long as the people still care, I think it's going to be weird. It's going to be convoluted, but the sport itself will be fine.
Yeah, and again, well, people will still watch, and people are going to root for their schools, but there are going to be a bunch of schools that will be left behind. Like, you know, 75% of the ACC, 75% of the Big 12 are going to get left behind. They're going to get left out of the whole shebang when we get to where ultimately they're taking us, and it's only for one thing. It's only for money. Let me ask you this question, Chip Patterson, Cover 3 podcast, CBSSports.com. Because I had, you know, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but we have followed it throughout. When Dartmouth ultimately voted yesterday to join a union, and they joined a local union on campus at Dartmouth. But ultimately what's going to happen here is college basketball players, college football players will likely form some sort of an association with representation. What do you think the fallout is, and why does it matter with Dartmouth's decision? And by the way, big win over Harvard last night. For the big green, not the mean green, the big green. I couldn't come up with what they were calling themselves these days. What do you think the fallout is from that?
I mean, doesn't Dartmouth need to win more than that one game? I mean,
they're bad. They're the worst team in the Ivy.
Yeah, how they ask me to get union representation when they can't win a ball game?
Yeah, that's a Doug Gottliebism when he said, "Oh, they're employees; they should be fired." No, you get fired if you're not doing what is expected of you, like go to work, show up, work hard, all of that. The person who should be fired was the person who hired all of them.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You may have discussed when this first started, the Ivy League does not have athletic scholarships.
Right.
It's interesting. You know, they are different from major college athletics in all of the other, Division I levels. They have some academic scholarships available for some, so it's not as though they are all there on their own dime. But they are given preferential treatment in admissions. And my understanding is the way that they were still able to obtain this, and this is the fallout, has to do with the strict schedule and the control that the university, through its coaches, have over the players. So it's not really about the money which Dartmouth generates from its men's basketball, which is little, or the athletic scholarship, which is zero. The thing at the heart of this that is the fallout is that what is being identified is the strict scheduling and controls that are placed on you as a men's basketball player at Dartmouth. You need to be at workouts from this time to this time. You need to be at practice from this time to this time. And if you do not meet these standards, then you are going to be removed. Well, that is right in line with the terms of employment for a job. That is translatable to the employment discussion all across the rest of college athletics, where the revenue they are generating is clearly much more, where they are receiving athletic scholarships, but where the control is, if not the same, even heightened at the greatest levels. And I think that that's sort of the crux of why you see leaders in college sports almost resigned to the fact that that not every single Division I athlete, but some Division I athletes are going to be entering into a world where they are considered employees, either of a conference or of a university. And a big part of that has to do with the control of your time and the demands of your time.
I just don't understand. We'll have to wrap here, but I just don't understand why the NCAA hasn't seen the handwriting on the wall really for the last several years. The only way to protect your model, if you will, is to enter into collective bargaining now. I mean, otherwise you're going to have everybody else determine your fate. You at least, and honestly, it might be too late anyway. It probably is too late anyway. But at least you would stand a chance at maintaining some level of control if you entered into a collective bargaining situation now, before you completely have lost control of everything. But they're not going to do that. They still think that they're going to be able to, get Congress to bail them out. It is the most maddening thing that I have ever witnessed. It just, we can all see the train wreck coming, and apparently they can't.
Can I just leave with just one comment here? Don't listen to the scare tactics as though making revenue sports athletes employees is going to mean that you're shuttering other sports.
Right.
If any high-level university is shuttering other sports, they've wanted to do it from the beginning.
I've been saying that for a long time. Yeah, absolutely.
Division II exists. Division III exists. Universities are going to deal with the admission cliff of 2026, where all of a sudden there are less 18-year-old Americans who are of age to go to college, having been high school graduates. They want people in their universities,
yep.
And selling a university experience like you watch on TV includes being a part of a sport or watching a sport.
Yep.
There are parents who want their children to play college athletics, even if they've got no chance at going pro, just to justify all those years of travel ball that they put in. Like, I see a future where there are some sports at some schools that are broken out and they are treated entirely differently. But this is not going to wreck all of college athletics, because universities have their own troubles and athletics actually helps more than it hurts.
No question about it. Chip Patterson, you're the best, man. I will talk to you later.
Good, y'all be well.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.